from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This is customary. Every single Tuesday we bring on Christian Fowler, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. We have the On the Bluff podcast, releases every single Tuesday at noon, where we cover Tigers, we cover everything under the sun, some NFL as well. But make sure you check that out. It's on Apple, Spotify, full-length video version on YouTube. We have C. Fowler, BCM on X. Christian, what's happening, man?
Oh, nothing too much. How are you doing, Gabe?
I'm hanging in there, brother. I'm hanging in there. We're closer to college football, so I can't be bad.
We're in the right month.
I can't
we're
be bad. Right, and also, now. we have preseason NFL. What did you think of the Hall of Fame game?
Honestly, I did not watch it. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, it's cool. Football is like officially about to get back, but I'm not watching third stringers play in Canton. Just not what I'm going to do.
Well, man, you sound like a NFL preseason Scrooge. I don't like that. What has happened to you?
I'm not a preseason Scrooge at all. Like, I usually watch a fair amount of preseason games, but the Hall of Fame game, I'm not typically tuning in for. Like, I know, with as big as a football fan as I am, it's kind of sacrilegious for me to say that, but I really don't start watching preseason football until it's actually preseason football and not just the Hall of Fame.
So you're still tuned into the Olympics?
Yes, I'm still more on the Olympic bandwagon than the Hall of Fame game bandwagon. But as soon as preseason starts, I think it starts on Thursday night, like truly week one of the preseason actually starts on Thursday night, then I'll be a little bit more dialed into the preseason. But the Hall of Fame game, I think I've tuned in maybe twice in my life, and both of them were because the Cowboys were playing.
Okay, I hear you. I understand. And we didn't even get to see the starting quarterbacks for either of those teams. That was kind of a bummer. No C.J. Stroud, no Caleb Williams. I'll say the Bears better play Caleb Williams a pretty fair amount in the preseason. We're gonna have to learn who he is. He's got to get used to the speed of the NFL. He's going to get caught a little bit more when he gets out of the pocket, breaks the pocket. And he's going to have to learn how to take plays and end them sometimes. Throw the ball away, check it down, not try to make a big play downfield every single time he has the ball in his hands.
Yeah, just to be completely clear, if those two guys were playing, even if Caleb Williams was playing, I would have at least tuned in for the first couple of drives. But knowing that we weren't going to see C.J. Stroud and what he could potentially look like in year two, or Caleb Williams and what he could potentially look like in year one, it just wasn't alluring to me. But I think you're definitely right. Yes, training camp reps are great. Joint practices are great. But actually getting to feel the game simulation of what it'll be like, going through a game day, going through warm-ups, going through all those things, I think is really important for all rookies to get that feeling before the actual regular season, but for a quarterback in particular, it's extremely important. Even if, you know, Keenan Allen probably wouldn't play, DJ Moore, he probably wouldn't have his two starting receivers, but I would imagine Roma Dunze would play with being a rookie also. So I think that would help him. And then, like you're saying, just game management on the NFL level is going to be much different than it was in the Pac-12 playing against really a lot of
Colorado defense, you know, something like that.
The Pac-12 has never been known for defense, and so he didn't see a lot of defense there at USC, maybe a little bit more in his time at Oklahoma during his freshman season. But it'll be a big adjustment for him. Like you're saying, he kind of had a knack for, at the collegiate level, extending plays too much, trying to look for the big play, not really checking it down, or just kind of the cliche, living to fight another down or living to fight another play. He didn't really have much of that in him. He was kind of always searching for the big play. And as we know, you can't do that at the NFL level and excel. You'll have some really big splash plays, but you'll make a lot more mistakes. So I think we should see a hefty amount of him in the preseason. And I think that will obviously help him going into the actual week one, which is right around a month away now, Gabe.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, speaking of quarterbacks, let's go to college, because we have a good quarterback here in Memphis by the name of Seth Hennigan, who's already the all-time leading passer in Memphis history, Memphis football history. But it's kind of funny. I know that you and I get annoyed with legacy talk all the time, but considering, like, we've heard Tim Kramsey talk about it, heard Ryan Silverfield talk about it, this is such a legacy-building year for Seth Hennigan. If he wants to take those record books and have those records mean a whole lot more, this year matters a whole lot. What are you going to do, this year as a team? Are you going to get to an AAC championship? Are you going to win an AAC championship? Are you going to be the college football playoff representative for the group of five? I hate that, you know, this is what sports does to us. But this is a massive legacy-building year for Seth Hennigan, and he could be sort of in that top spot of this great run of quarterbacks we've seen between Brady White, Riley Ferguson, Paxton Lynch, and him. He could take that top spot if this year goes according to plan.
This is the season where the stats and the accolades have an opportunity to coincide. Obviously, he has the stats. He's been able to start for multiple years now after starting as a true freshman. So all the numbers are there to be a great legacy quarterback at the University of Memphis. But the accolades have to be there. Yes, there have been some bowl wins, but they've been mid to low tier bowl wins, with the biggest one being this past year in the Liberty Bowl. But there's been no marquee big win in his career, I would argue. There hasn't been one. There hasn't been. You can look back at the other quarterbacks, and they all had staple wins in their career, whether it was, you know, Brady White in the AAC championship game, whether it was knocking off an SEC program for Riley or Paxton, or winning bigger bowl games against more quality opponent, whatever the case may be. Seth does not have a linchpin win in his career. And what was Mississippi State? Was that his freshman year, if I'm not mistaken?
Yep.
And I guess you could make a little bit of an argument there, but you weren't really playing against a high-caliber SEC team, and it was it's not lasting to me. That's not right. One that, like, when I think of Brady White, I think of the back-to-back win against Cincinnati. I think of College Game Day coming to town against SMU with, you know, two top 15, two top 20 programs in the country. Like, there are marquee moments for these other quarterbacks that are in the discussion, and Seth doesn't have that. And a lot of that has been just overall team success. The team hasn't, you know, been in a position to do things like that, to host a game day, to go to an AAC championship game. But he has to be the one to will them to those things, because the talent around him now, I believe, is warranted for Memphis to be in a conference championship, to be in the discussion for landing the college football playoff spot for a group of five school. It is all in front of him. Memphis was picked to finish first in the conference. Memphis was right outside the top 25 in the coaches poll that came out on Monday. So it's all right there for him. The talent is there offensively and defensively for him to mesh the stats with the big time marquee accolades. And so you're 100% right. This is a pure legacy building feet is the definition of that for Seth Hennigan this year.
Yep, and I will say the expectations continue. We had the USA Today coaches poll get published yesterday. And Memphis is in that sort of 30th spot, if you will, and others receiving votes. They had 44 votes. They were the highest-ranked Group of Five team in that poll. And then right behind them, Boise State had 30 votes. I think Liberty had like 12 votes. When we look around the Group of Five, who is the other team or the other teams that really give you the pause? Where you're saying, okay, those teams have a massive, massive opportunity to leapfrog Memphis and get themselves into the college football playoff.
I think the two main teams that everyone's going to point to, and I don't think they're wrong in this at all, are Boise State and Liberty. And we've talked a lot in previous weeks and today already about Seth and what the quarterback position means, especially at the collegiate level. Well, those two guys have quarterbacks that can compete in that conversation.
Yep.
And we look at Caden Salter and Malachi Nelson, who is a former – is it Malachi Nelson?
Malachi Nelson.
I just want to make sure. Who was a former five-star quarterback and will be in his sophomore season. So it's those two teams for me because they have potentially elite-level – you have a potentially elite-level quarterback in Malachi Nelson. Then you have a quarterback in Caden Salter who's already proved that he can be elite. But when you look at – those two teams individually. I think Boise State on paper is probably a better overall top-to-bottom team.
Sure.
But the thing about Liberty is they play nobody.
No one.
They don't really have too many bumps in the road. It would have to pretty much be an upset for them to lose a game. So if they go undefeated and win a conference championship, how does the committee keep them out, even if, let's say, Memphis loses – two games during the regular season and wins the AAC championship? How do they balance that out? You know, like how does that get sorted out? If you have an undefeated Group of Five team that won their conference championship, and then you have a 10-win conference champion in the American, which is a better conference, but they didn't go undefeated, and so then you have some of those difficulties. So I think Liberty truly is the bigger threat to Memphis, just because their schedule is so easy, and then also the elite quarterback play helps them out.
Yeah, and the one thing about Boise State, the reason I'm not as worried is you have to see them against Washington State. They're going to have to deal with UNLV on the road, and UNLV is coming off one of the best years in program history, if not the best year in program history. They have Oregon and Oregon State as well on their schedule. Like, they have there's way more of an opportunity for them to slip up and lose a couple of games to keep Memphis in this fight than there is with Liberty. Liberty's toughest game is on the road against App State. And I'm not saying they're not capable of losing that game. App State is always capable of handling business. But that's it. Like, Liberty's right. Toughest game outside of that in the non-cons against East Carolina. You know, we right. know that East Carolina, they have Jake Garcia, the transfer quarterback from Mizzou, and maybe he can be solid. But East Carolina's been struggling for quite a while now.
Yeah, and that's why I agree with that take. Because you can see, there's a world where you can see in the range of outcomes, Boise State losing 2 to 4 games, and you wouldn't be surprised. You wouldn't be surprised if they were a 10-win team. You wouldn't be surprised if they were an 8-win team.
Right.
You wouldn't be surprised if they won the Mountain West. I mean, there are a lot, to me, there are a lot more range of outcomes for Boise State than for Liberty. Like, Liberty, it's hard to see them losing more than potentially a game, which would probably just be a slip-up. Like you said, whether that's on the road at App State or an inferior team that just comes in and everything falls right for them and they end up winning that game. So, to me, if you're down to a 3 or 4 loss team, or a 3 or 4 loss Boise State team and a 1 loss Liberty team, I think you got to be more scared of Liberty just because the schedule is so easy. And then also going back to that quarterback conversation, because we know how important that is at the collegiate level, Malachi Nelson obviously has a ton of talent, but he's not someone we've seen much from. So we don't know how that will translate in his first year as a starter at Boise State.
Yep.
But Caden Salter is proven. Like, we know what he's going to be. And if he takes another level, another step up and goes into another level this year, that makes Liberty even more dangerous. So to me, it comes down schedule, quarterback. I'd be more scared of Liberty than Boise State.
And I do get the sense if you had a 1-loss Liberty and a 2-loss Memphis or a undefeated Liberty and a one-loss Memphis, having the only loss at Florida State. I get the sense that Memphis would probably get the lean over them, but if you have that two-game difference in losses or wins, that's where you start to get into a struggle, because we saw that last year. Liberty, because they were undefeated, they ended up getting in over the Tulanes and SMUs of the world to the New Year's Six Bowl because those teams had two losses already. Even though they were AAC conference championship caliber football teams, SMU ended up winning. They just had too many losses there on the board. But if there's that one loss difference, do you agree with me? It seems like an AAC team or a Mountain West team would be able to get over top of Liberty if Liberty has that one loss.
Let me ask you something. How different is it if Memphis loses to Florida State versus another team? Because I think if that loss is Florida State, you feel really good about it. If that loss is not Florida State, then some things could creep in.
Well, but also we have to take into consideration if you're 11-1 or 12-1 and you beat Florida State, I think the committee takes that into consideration pretty heavily. Because then you would have probably been a top 25 team most of the year.
Most of the year, yeah, because you get that win early. So I would agree. I think if you're a one-loss Memphis team versus an undefeated Liberty team, both teams win conference championships, you would have to put Memphis in over Liberty, just based off of strength of schedule, quality of opponent, because in that case, Memphis is either going to beat Florida State and lose to someone else, or lose to Florida State and beat the rest of the field and win a conference championship. So they would win, what, like eight or nine games in a row?
Yeah.
So they'd be extremely hot going down the stretch. That loss would be early in the season where it doesn't weigh as much because you kind of ran the table down the stretch. So I agree. One loss versus undefeated, I think Memphis gets that bid. But if you're two loss team, if you're a 10-2 with a conference championship, so 11-2 versus a 13-0 Liberty, it would be really hard not to put the undefeated team in over a two-win team.
Yeah. Now, one thing I'm really excited for, just generally speaking, is obviously we have week zero and two more Saturdays. But, like, I just think we need to get to a Saturday. We need to see some ball because we have the Michigan notice of allegations, and we're talking about are they going to have a national championship revoked, taken away by the NCAA? Are they going to deal with suspensions? We still are dealing with transfer portal. We're still dealing with NIL and all the unintended consequences of that, and those are still the conversations until we actually see a Saturday. Once we see a Saturday, everybody forgets about that. We have short-term memory loss, and I like that. Because we always talk about the issues with college football, but once we actually see it on the field, we stop caring altogether and we watch.
Oh, yeah. All will be forgotten once college football season starts, and we are barreling towards it. It feels like we've been kind of alluding to it for a while now, but we are close. Like I said, we're in the month where football starts. Even if it is on the last day of the month, week one at least starts at the end of August. So we are getting close, and I don't know about you, but especially with the immense heat that we've had, I cannot wait to wake up on one of those Saturday mornings in like mid-October.
Oh God! Yeah.
Where you got to throw some sweatpants on and a hoodie on. Might have a little outdoor TV where you go watch college game day.
Like, put together a fire outside.
Smelling the bonfire,
waking up, all your clothes smell like a bonfire. That's the beautiful part. That's the beautiful nature of college football season or football season general, really.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Not even just that. It doesn't even stop there. You get your full Saturday. You go to sleep and then you wake up and you get to do it all over again for 7 or 8
hours. Once we get Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Wednesday, Thursday, potential Friday games, we get on to Saturday, we go into Sunday, watch NFL. It's beautiful. You can't beat it. You just really can't.
No, you definitely can't. And this year, I'm sure you've seen the schedule as well. Basically, from December 20th to January 20th, I believe December 20th is when the college football playoff starts, to January 20th, we're pretty much alternating college football playoff games and in an end-of-season NFL/NFL playoff games. Like, that month of our lives is going to be beautiful. And you'll have a newborn baby also.
Yes, that is true. That is true. So that's something I have to look forward to. I'm talking with Christian Fowler at C Fowler BCM. With that Michigan notice of allegations, I'm sure you saw all that. We have 7 different level 1 violations, 5 coaches, including Jim Harbaugh, have a level 1 violation. We had 52 deleted text messages from Sherrone Moore, the new coach at Michigan. Connor Stallions, apparently, and in that Michigan program, scouted 58 times illegally in a 3-year period. What do you think comes of this? That's my ultimate question. I know it's hard to tell exactly because the NCAA has lost its teeth over the years, but what do you think actually happens here?
Yeah, that's you said the NCAA has lost their teeth over the last couple of years, and that's kind of what I'm wondering, because if there was ever a case where they were to actually do something impactful and meaningful as far as making an example out of somebody or whatever, you could see this being it. And we downplayed this stuff during the season.
Real quick, I hate to cut you off, but I still think Michigan was the best team in college football last year.
Yeah.
I still think that.
I agree with that, but we didn't know to the extent with what this was happening. It was like, okay, this is not really a big deal, but you see, like you said, 58 times over 3 years is pretty excessive. Like,
yes.
That's a little
it's
bit
unnecessary,
ridiculous.
Even. You're not playing all those teams.
No, so it's a little bit more in-depth than we originally thought or were originally led to believe. And so with that, and with Jim Harbaugh leaving also, which I think that tells you all you need to know about, he knew that the hammer was coming down.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the actual outcome is, what the actual punishment is, like, he knew it was about to go south. It had obviously already started to go south when he was suspended for multiple games during the season. But he knew that that was the tip of the iceberg and that it was going to get worse. So if there was a time, because you know the NCAA hates feeling powerless like they have over the last several years, if there was a time for them to do it, I think it would probably be now. But there's still that part of me that with how soft they've been over the last several years, it's just like, did they do it again? Did they suspend Sherrone Moore for a couple games and maybe revoke some scholarships or whatever, you know, limit some scholarships or whatever. Is it that much of a slap on the wrist, or do they go harder? Do they suspend Sherrone Moore for a season or for 10 games or for something like that? I really don't have a prediction, because I feel like, okay, it's going to be a slap on the wrist somehow. Like, this is the team that just won the national championship. Michigan is expected to be one of the best teams in the country again this year. They're one of the biggest names in college football, one of the biggest fan bases in college football. It's hard for me to see them coming down hard, even though that's probably what should happen.
Yeah. We'll see. I listen, I don't feel that bad for Sherrone Moore through this whole thing, because he obviously played his own part in it. 52 deleted text messages, multiple hard drives just completely thrown out and destroyed. They tried to hide the evidence. But I do kind of feel a little bit bad for Sherrone Moore. I mean, after that Penn State game, he's booger crying, and then you have Jim Harbaugh leave, and he was like, the crying he did after Penn State was all about, oh, I want to hug Jim Harbaugh right now. He gave me my career, and then Jim Harbaugh leaves him behind. That doesn't seem like the best friendly thing to do if you're best friends with somebody.
No, it doesn't, unless there was some behind closed doors agreement, which is certainly possible in the world of college.
So, like, you mean sort of one of us has to be behind to take this
right.
punishment?
Like, hey, buddy, it's coming down, and it's coming down quick, and somebody's got to stay back.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty well respected in this world. I've got a lot of accomplishments. Been to a Super Bowl. Won a national championship now, been extremely successful in the NFL and at the collegiate level. It's not going to be me. It's going to be you. You've never been a true head coach for a game. You've been an interim head coach for a few games. You're going to have to stay back and take one for the team.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case.
I almost think that is the case. I buy into that very heavily. But I also think there's another case you could make about if they would have hired from outside of the facility, outside of the program, maybe they could have avoided a little bit of it. you know, self-reported, have a completely new staff in there, nobody who is implicated in this, do the Tennessee route with Jeremy Pruitt. Obviously, different situations altogether because this is a cheating scandal on the field that no one has ever, like, this is unprecedented. But yeah, I could see a realm or a possibility if they would have gotten somebody else from outside of the program, you could have wiped your hands clean a little bit more as the Michigan Athletics Department or the Michigan football program.
Yeah, like you said, why not go the Tennessee route? It is exactly what they did. You look at when the allegations happened with Jeremy Pruitt and his staff, Tennessee self-reported and clean house from the AD through the entire football staff. Philip Fulmer was let go. Danny White was brought in. Heupel and his staff were brought in. So they completely avoided it by having no one left to point the finger at. There was no one left on the staff or in the athletic department to say, okay, we can do something to you because you were around and you knew what was going on. So the Michigan chose the opposite route. They chose to put the guy in charge who was right in the thick of things. And I guess we'll see how that plays out. I don't know if that's the smartest move or the best move. Also, we talked about this last night on the podcast. They didn't self-report or anything like that. And they kind of doubled down. And you mentioned, you know, busting hard drives, deleting text messages. Like, they hindered the investigation, which cannot work in their favor. So it's a completely different situation than at Tennessee because they did everything they could to avoid having punishment, and Michigan's kind of made it easier to punish them.
Yes, self-reporting is probably the best way to go about this thing. But Michigan was acting like victims the entire time. I didn't expect them to self-report. That's the biggest thing. You know, they last year used it as a rallying cry to go win a natty.
They doubled down in the biggest way possible. They used it all year. The coaches, you saw the, you know, tweets from the coaches and stuff. You saw a ton of tweets from the players when Jim Harbaugh was first suspended for those games and then just throughout the season in the playoffs and after they won the national championship. So the NCAA does not take kindly to that. Like, they mocked them the entire time all the way to winning a national championship, which is pretty awesome, like, in a sense, when it's like, okay, the NCAA is trying to get on to you and you're just kind of giving them the bird the whole time. To me, that's a little bit funny, even if you're in the wrong. But I just don't – I don't see them liking that too much. I think even with the toothless NCAA that we know now, they're going to try to do whatever they can to do more than slap the wrist to Michigan because they've got to be right now like, oh, we got you. Like, we caught you in every way possible, and there are way too many people here that were here last year that we can go after.
Yeah. Now, final thing, I want to get to some Tiger basketball. It's been a quiet news off season for Tiger basketball, which is a good thing. Like, that is a good thing. It means less drama and less sort of back and forth, less moving pieces. That's nice. But I saw Bart Torvik, who did not like the team last year, even though there was a perceived lift in talent a year ago. You had a bunch of guys from different places. You had a Lou Henson Award winner, best player in the mid-major in Jordan Brown. You had a sixth man of the year in the SEC in Javon Quinterly. You had plenty of good talent. But this year, Bart Torvik likes this team with Tyrese Hunter, P.J. Haggerty, Colby Rogers, Dane Danger, Barack Okoji, Nick Jordan. Likes it a lot more. Has them ranked at number 26 in his sort of preseason Bart Torvik rankings. Did that surprise you at least a tad bit?
I mean, maybe a little bit just because of the lack of star power this year versus last year. But when you dig deeper into the metrics, it makes total sense. And we said, I don't know how many times we said square peg in a round hole last year, but it had to exceed 25. We said it pretty much every week on here. We said it pretty much every week on the podcast. That was last season from when the roller coaster started going downhill until the end. It was clear that Penny and the staff were trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. And I don't think that's the case this year. Last year, you were trying to take a team with a ton of offensive talent and a ton of name recognition and turn them into a defensive all-star team, and that was never going to happen because it wasn't where they excelled. This year, you're taking lesser-known players from a national perspective, but they are all players who have exceeded at a specific role at their other stops. Whatever they were asked to do at their other stop, whether it was play defense and not be, you know, a high scoring player, or, you know, for PJ Haggerty specifically, like run and lead the entire show, from Tyree Turner at Texas to really being a facilitator and kind of holding the entire offense together just from moving the ball and from scoring in spots when needed. Like, there's so many different roles on this team that were occupied at previous stops that it gives you confidence in what they can do in Penny's system and in the role that they're going to be asked to fulfill this upcoming season. So even though on paper, like talent-wise, name recognition, it's not the same caliber of team, I think it's a better overall, more well-constructed team. And I think that's a testament to Penny and the staff being able to learn from their mistakes of last year and saying, okay, we're not going to go try to redo that. That formula obviously did not work. So how can we adjust and how can we do a better job of bringing in transfers? If that's going to be our marquee, at least for now, is these big overhaul classes where it's basically an entirely new team, how can we do it more effectively than we did last year? There's got to be a better way. And I think when you look at the advanced metrics, when you just go watch film on what these players did last year or in previous years, they got players that are better suited for what they want to do at Memphis and also are better suited to gel together, because that was not the case last year. That team really never gelled completely. They never really had the chemistry that you want to see from a higher level team. It never came. And you look at this team this year and how you don't really see them stepping on each other's toes, at least from what they've done at their previous schools. It just makes sense that metrics and numbers like this team better than they did last year's team.
Yeah, I think so. It's just a better fitting team for what Penny Hardaway wants to do. And Bart Torvik sees it. And I learned my lesson with Bart Torvik last year. He was right most of the way, even though he didn't have them moving up his rankings and his projections when they had that great out-of-conference schedule. I was wondering why. And then we saw why once they got into conference season, to see them ranked high in this Bart Torvik metric, which is now going to be part of the way the committee decides who gets into the tournament and who gets left out. That's nice to see. But Christian, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for hopping on. Will we be able to do this again next week?
Yep.
Okay.
I'll be here.
Cool. Sounds good. Appreciate it, man.
Yep. See y'all next week.
Yes, sir. That's Christian Fowler at C Fowler BCM, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. Make sure you check out our podcast, the On the Bluff podcast.
Because you know you've had this couch for too long. Sure, you've had good times together, but a ripped up cushion is not a fond memory. It's a sign. Notice how other people have couches with two armrests. Now that's living, right? No, it's just normal. So bundle your renters and car insurance with Progressive and put the savings toward a new couch. Please, it's time. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company coverage provided in service by affiliates and third-party insurers. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Life hack number 7, get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or StraightTalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher end auto pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
If you own a timeshare, don't miss this public service announcement from Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group.
If you receive an unsolicited phone call or mail piece to discuss selling, renting, or especially canceling your timeshare, don't fall for it. If you really want out of your timeshare, hang the phone up immediately or throw that mail piece in the trash and contact your timeshare resort or Wesley Financial Group for assistance with your timeshare. As the only Inc. 500 timeshare cancellation company, our knowledge, experience, and results
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything, and that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.